Yes, sir. It's the most notorious rogue of the nation, accompanied by Miss PvP Girl Gigi.
So beautiful. Give her a round of applause.
Give her a round of applause.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I like this right here. I'm sitting here waiting to raid and I ain't feeling it. Stressing cause I'm tired of lag and even dealing with it. Kinda bumming and feeling a little down and out. Cause every time we jump on the mob, I get to lagging out. But Gigi is saying,
I'm really wanting you to go.
But yo, I'ma suck it up cause Nation is a pro. I told her, let me restart and I'll be right back. And she told me,
hurry up, Nation, we're starting ASAP.
So I log a restart, then get back on the game. And I make it out to NASA to go and take out what's his name. But during this past work, I get a freeze frame. Cause everybody is casting their spells, it's kinda lame. Everything is skipping and jumping and moving real slow. Looking at my health on the top and it's dropping real low. Spamming every key on my keyboard and face roll.
Yeah, I love this song.
Cause I gotta let her know. Are you lagging like that?
I'm lagging like that.
Are you lagging like that?
I'm lagging like that.
Are you lagging like that?
I'm lagging like that.
I like how he sounds like he's asking her something else other than are you lagging. It's soft.
It's totally soft.
Oh, good morning, people out there. Oh. One more day until Friday. I got to turn that off because I can't talk very loud, and I have no idea if you all out there can hear me. I'm not doing this on purpose before I get the text. I'm really not. How you doing, Ginger?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Miss Corey?
When you don't have words, noises should suffice.
Yes, the noise should suffice.
That's exactly how I feel. I'm going to need for the trees in Texas or in Houston specifically to please keep that pollen stuff in. Just hold it in during the day, please. Or at least wind don't blow something. Oh.
Yes, wind, if you would just stop blowing, please, wind. Oh, I'm starting to think the lag is being caused by the wind. It is just... Every time it starts, because I can hear it hitting my house. Seriously, people, if y'all have never been to Texas and been in the Texas wind, you have no idea. It's loud.
It's a monsoon out there.
It is. It
Without
is.
Without rainy parts, it's just wind.
It's like standing in front of an overgrown hairdryer all day long.
Yes, and I was so pretty when I went out yesterday. When I came back, I had
so
on a bad wig. Yeah, I had on a bad wig, apparently. That's what it looked
there
like.
There is a reason why women in Texas are known for having the big hair and all the hairspray with the hair that doesn't move.
Mm-hmm. Or lots of wigs and weave, because you got to keep that stuff under control.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I don't have any hairspray, so, you know, yesterday, I was hiding my face. Please don't look at me. Anyway.
Oh, but Corey, you're cute.
I am when my eyes are not watering from excessive pollen and my hair is not whipping in the wind and not
Girl,
in a cute way like Willow Smith.
I know my eyes are all red and itchy. I look like some kind of crackhead.
You look like you had the zombie-itis is what you had.
Zombie-itis. There we go. Zombie-itis. Yes,
it's just setting in before you become a full-fledged zombie.
Yes. Yes, yes. I don't have the whole twitchy eye thing for the crackhead, so...
I'm done. I'm done. You're listening to Lunch with Ginger. Corey, and I am Corey.
And I am Ginger.
Yes. In today's news, there's an accident on I-26B.
Oh, yeah? Oh, I think I know who caused it.
Me.
The guy in this picture that I'm looking at.
Oh, please share with us.
I'm pulling this story from GamePolitics.com this morning. The Sun Runs 3DS experiment, UK Games Press mocks them. You got to see this picture just to see what I'm talking about.
Oh, here. Yeah, I see.
It's wow.
Out of order.
So two publications, Pocket Gamer and Games Radar, took a recent spot study in The Sun, or as some call it, Britain's version of the Weekly World News, about the effects of playing the Nintendo 3DS. All right, so yesterday we talked about the story where The Sun did a study conducted by Carol Cooper for an article entitled Nintendo 3DS Comes for a Barf. What? All right, anyways, using a 22-year-old subject named Lee Price, a 3DS, and instruments needed to regulate blood pressure and heart rate, The Sun slaps together a spot study on the perils of playing Nintendo's new handheld. I'm thinking if that's the guy from this picture, I can identify why this didn't work. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The first measures taken before the experiment begins The subject's readings are 120 over 70 and 66 BPM. And the second measure is taken after 30 minutes of play and reads 127 over 72 and 66 BPM. The subject says he feels okay but has a slight headache. The third measurement is taken after an hour of play. His pressure is 130 over 74 with a 69 BPM. The doctor notes some nystagmus, where a person's pupils move rapidly from left to right.
It's called watching the screen while you're gaming. That's what that's called.
And if he's playing that little flight simulator game, that could be why.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I was like, whoa. After 90 minutes of play, the subjects of readings were 135 over 80 and 82 BPM. All right, so anyways, that's getting boring. What do we care about this? The measurements at 2 hours is taken while the subject is sitting in the passenger seat of a moving car and playing the 3DS. That'll make you sick. Playing the 3DS in these conditions makes Lee feel nauseated, and his blood pressure reaches 140 over 84. If this rate is sustained for a long period of time, it could damage circulation. Circulation!
Your circulation is bad.
Oh, my God. All right. So that was coming from the doctor. Anyways, because this little experiment was so outrageously ridiculous, Pocket Gamer and Games Radar decided to mock it. Pocket Gamer recreates the experiment, but instead of playing the 3DS, their subject reads a copy of The Sun. Oddly enough, they come up with similar pulse and heart rate readings. Games Radar takes a different tact, opting instead to openly mock the paper with some tough comedy. The point is that The Sun should avoid having anything to do with technology or gaming because they don't know what the hell they are talking about.
Amen. But
it wouldn't hurt to consult a doctor, one that knows something. Oh, this is beautiful. I love this game politics. Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Well, we've been talking about GameStop all week, and well, not all week. Yesterday, I remember we had quite a few stories about them and things that they were doing at GameStop. And they have yet again done something else. I don't know if this is good or bad, but I'll tell you what I think after. This is from our friends at GameIndustry.biz. It says GameStop apparently is tabulating the next gaming explosion following a flurry of recent activity in the market with acquisitions of both Spawn Labs and Impulse, which we told you about, as well as a move into Facebook retail. U.S. specialist GameStop has claimed that it would set itself up as a manufacturer of tablet devices in order to ensure the platform has a compelling environment for games. They spoke to Gamma Sutra, the company president over there, Tony Bartel, and he hailed the portable devices as the next explosion to hit the video game sector, noting the retailer's commitment to be a player there, saying if we can work with our partners and the OEMs, and they come up with a great tablet that is enabled with a great gaming experience and coupled with a Bluetooth controller, then there is no need to go out and develop our own. But if we can't find one that's great for gaming, then we'll create it. The retailer, which is the biggest specialist brand in the U.S. market, has embarked on a series of initiatives in order to ready itself for a future in which box product sales take less of a share and digital sales more, as well as finding a foothold in cloud gaming and digital distribution, setting itself up as a competitor to the likes of OnStream and Steam. Any moves into the hardware space will increase the list of rivals, yes, to include other significant players such as Apple and Samsung. Oh. Since the announcement of Spawn and Impulse acquisitions, GameStop stock has risen nearly 6% and closed yesterday at $23.90, which is very good. Maybe I need to make a call and see if I can get a couple of those. Okay, here's what I think. They're dead on when they say they're going to drum up a list of rivals, especially people who make a lot of console games, or the companies like Microsoft and Sony who make consoles.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what they're planning to do. They may be planning the next Xbox to have a pullout and PlayStation. We as well may do a new console where it might have a pullout where it's a tablet. This, I think, is not a smart move, considering you started out as a games retailer, and that's how you made your money from these companies you're now about to pit yourself against, Apple as well.
That's true. That's very true. And hasn't GameStop recently had issues with losses?
They have. All I got to say is play and trade. You're next up to bat because that's who's going to step in and take over that space when you start racking up the enemies. Ooh, juicy fight. I'll be buying my games at play and trade. Hi, play and trade. The guys that sometimes listen, they sometimes pipe us through the store. Hope you guys are listening. I don't have your store address, or I would tell everybody that's where to go. But
Ooh, I wonder if they have any up here. Or is it just a local thing?
They are franchised. So here's the thing, guys out there listening. You want to get into the gaming industry? You could very well franchise your own play and trade in your city if there isn't one, and probably just, you know, forget GameStop. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't go there.
I don't agree. I go there because I can sell my games, but Best Buy also buys games now. And I heard a little rumor that Walmart is looking at doing the same. So if they start doing it, I don't have any reason to go to GameStop. I just go because I need to.
I really hope Walmart doesn't. Oh, please make that be a lie. No, 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 no. Walmart, keep your little grubby hands off my game.
As long as they give me a good price to buy them back for me, I'll do it. Another little known fact is if you have a bookstore, we have a lot of them here in Houston, but I don't know if there's any anywhere else. Half Price Books buys back your PC games. Remember, GameStop stopped doing this. Half Price Books will buy your PC games back from you. It won't be an astronomical amount, but at least you don't have to let them sit there and say, what am I supposed to do with this? So, and I have tons of PC games. Not that I'll ever sell them because I love all my PC games, but if you're one of those people, you want to get a couple dollars back so you can go put it towards your game, maybe $5 on your next game to reserve it, try Half Price Books. They do buy them back from you. They don't care if it's open or not. So long as you have everything that goes in there, they're like, we'll take it.
Girl, and I don't know why I can't seem to part with my PC games. I have boxes of them, boxes.
Yes.
I have all my old Dark Age of Camelot ones, all of them. I have all the old EverQuest. I can't. They're a part of me. I can't get rid of them.
Well, my plan has been, and I've been saying this for years, but I've not found a frame big enough for all these boxes I have to make a piece of artwork out of them, to put them all in a big frame so that I keep them. I love doing crafts and stuff.
That would be cool. I never even thought about that.
See, now I just gave people a bunch of new ideas. Do something with all that paper. Don't just throw it away.
I know I still have some of the old EverQuest maps that came in the boxes.
I do,
hanging them on the wall. Yep.
I even have a Scars of Velis on the burlap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have one of
those. Oh, that's pretty.
No, you cannot have it, Ginger.
Oh, come on. That's
no,
nice.
No, I know you were going to ask. No.
Yeah, well, EQ was your game. DOC was mine.
That's right. I have those, too.
I lost my maps for those.
You cannot have it.
It's bad. All right, so there's a new horror story game coming out. And we know Corey just loves herself some horror stories.
Notice I got quiet. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Unveiling the storyline of Amy, the next horror adventure game from Lexis Numeric. With running, hiding, and fighting as core gameplay elements, Amy plunges the player into a complex storyline with unique gameplay challenges. Lexis Numeric, one of the biggest independent game design studios in Europe, has today unveiled more details surrounding the storyline and gameplay balance of Amy. This unique survival game horror title, developed by a team headed by industry veteran Paul Cousette, will be downloadable exclusively via PlayStation Network in June. So you can't play it. You don't have PlayStation.
I do have a PlayStation.
Oh, you do? I think you did.
Yes,
oh,
I do.
Oh, I'm going to get cut.
I am triple platformed up in this house. I am loaded down with the platforms, except for my 3DS. I'm working on it.
PlayStation, send me one. the game takes
so
place.
Cheap. You can get one for next to nothing now. Anyway, go ahead.
The game takes place in December 2034 when the gradual effects of global warming have spread diseases and natural disasters around the world. Amid this bleak scenario, the small town of Silver City in the USA's Midwest suffers a cataclysmic incident where it is struck by an unidentified comet from outer space. When lead character Lana regains consciousness, her world has descended into mayhem. Violent outbursts, fury, rage, wreckage, and death. The world she knew seems to have become a living hell. As if struck by a mysterious virus, most of the people she once knew have now become part of a wild horde. Despite her wounds, Lana must run as far as possible to escape this nightmare. The viral process has also begun inside her, but she refuses to become one of them. The presence of Amy, an enigmatic 8-year-old autistic girl with strange powers who seems defenseless, will force her to make choices that will change both their lives. Both Lana and Amy will have to trust and help each other to escape various pursuers,
who take the form of infected humans, grisly creatures, military special forces, and even other survivors. In Amy, players will discover a unique and absorbing gameplay experience that features extensive cooperation with a supporting character. Taking the role of Lana, players will quickly learn that Amy is neither a specialized warrior nor a docile following character. Players will be able to use her small size and weight to reach inaccessible areas, ask her to do specific actions, and utilize her mysterious gifts. But first and foremost, Amy's trust will need to be won, perhaps even by putting Lana's life on the line. This is a story-driven survival horror game set in a close and tense atmosphere. Amy is based on a rich, addictive, and twisted story-based scenario. A strong emphasis has been put into the characters' backgrounds and behavior, but also on audio, sound design, and very unique use of camera settings to create emotion. Amy is one of the first games on PlayStation Network to employ a level of detailed rendering, modeling, and motion capture animation expected only from fully boxed product. The game offers an original stealth action gameplay mix that does include fierce close combat, albeit sparingly. Lana and Amy are for the most part considerably weaker than their enemies, and tactical approaches to enemy encounters can offer the most suitable solutions. As Lana has become infected by the virus, she too will mutate when exposed too long and will eventually die if not cured or protected by one of Amy's special powers. But when displaying more viable infection, Lana can lure enemies and move amongst their infected without being attacked. All right. Again, Amy is being currently developed at VectorCell Studios under the direction of Paul Cassette, renowned French developer of classic games such as Flashback and the Motor Racer series.
Give me some Flashback.
Looks like this is going to be launched exclusively on the PlayStation at work in June 2011. And looks like they have a Facebook. Just look them up. It's facebook.com/pages/Amy, A-M-Y. I did link it up on our website. Go over there and check it out. I put some screenshots up. They're actually kind of spooky looking. Definitely probably something I'm going to avoid because it looks like it's going to give me nightmares.
Oh, Angel.
Nightmares.
It's a sad, sad thing. You should love those games. I love them.
Did you see the pictures? Creepy, creepy looking little girl. Very, very, very creepy looking.
Oh, I love to be scared. It's good to scream. Scream is good for the epiglottis. So, yes. It is. It's good for your throat. Okay, so I just got this in 2 seconds ago. Must share. Also, because I told you I went on Twitter, a lot of people coming over to hear. What? Did someone say Mass Effect? Yes, I did. EA and Funimation Entertainment have officially announced a home video adaptation of award-winning sci-fi game Mass Effect to be released not this year, but next year. Yeah. A Tokyo-based anime and international feature film production company, TO Entertainment Inc., has signed on as co-producer on the video. It's going to be based on the Mass Effect universe. The anime video will tell the tale of an epic science fiction adventure set in a vast universe filled with dangerous alien life and mysterious uncharted planets. Casey Hudson of BioWare, who is the executive producer of the Mass Effect series, will serve as the executive producer on the film. Amazing. Along with Funimation president and CEO Gunn, I'm not going to even try to say your last name. It's with an F. It's too close to sounding like something else. And he's also the director of original entertainment. Not him. I'm sorry. The director of original entertainment, Chris Mohawes. Gosh, wow. Yes. And TO Entertainment. I'm sorry. TO Entertainment CEO Takeichi Honda and Yui Shibata. I'm sorry, our Asian listeners. Really. I'm just terrible with the names. Over the last year, we've revealed different pieces of the Mass Effect world through different media. Extending the story through an anime medium is another amazing opportunity for us. From Casey Hudson, as I said, partnering with Funimation ensures it will bring this rich universe to life with the utmost quality and the same attention to detail that Mass Effect games are known for. It's an enormous and passionate Mass Effect fan base that this movie is made possible. I'm trying to see if I can get some more information about it here because most of this is just them saying they're very excited. As we tell you every day, everybody's always very excited. Okay, looks like digital and home video releases are scheduled for next summer. Not summer this year, but summer of 2012. Some facts really quickly about Mass Effect. Mass Effect and its sequel, Mass Effect 2, have received over 250 awards and 100 perfect 10 scores from critics worldwide. Yes. And if you've not played Mass Effect, which I have not, it's not on purpose, Mass Effect 2 is currently available for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 video game entertainment systems and PC. And if you, make sure you keep listening to us. We'll have some more information. They're telling us they'll give us more information. Or you can also pop over to the Mass Effect website, masseffect.bioware.com. Follow the development team on Twitter, Mass Effect 2, and on their Facebook. See, they know what they're doing over there. Mass Effect.
That is pretty awesome.
That is awesome.
That's a crap load worth of awards. Holy cow.
Yes, it is. And now, if you want to read the full account, you want to see everything that they had to say. I'm sorry. There's another little tidbit here that I left out. You can read this. It's up on our website. There is also a Dragon Age video apparently in the works is what I'm reading here.
Ooh, I want to see that.
Yes.
That sounds nice.
Yes, so production is underway for both. I don't have anything else about the Dragon Age video. Don't ask me. They didn't say anything else here. So that's what we got. Yay. That is a lot of awards. Amazing. I want to play.
Don't we all?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we heard about Anonymous earlier this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sony comments on website outages.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is coming from GamePolitics.com this morning. Several Sony websites went down this week, and hacker group Anonymous claimed responsibility for the outages. Earlier in the week, the group declared war on Sony over its legal action against several PS3 hackers. Sony's Style.com site and the U.S. PlayStation site went down. While Sony did not directly blame Anonymous, the company did issue a statement saying that it was looking into the matter. There were also claims the PlayStation Network had been down at some point in the last day or so, but I personally did not encounter such an outage, the writer says. This is coming from CNET, looks like. Sony says in a statement to CNET, we are currently investigating, including the possibility of targeted behavior of an outside party. If this is indeed caused by such an act, we want to once again thank our customers who have borne the brunt of the attack through the interrupted service. Our engineers are working to restore and maintain the services, and we appreciate our customers' continued support. In other words, Anonymous, you're just ticking off all the rest of us gamers. You don't want us mad.
Yeah, we didn't do anything to you. So what happens when another group says we're going to come after you? Honestly.
Exactly. You know what? And somebody is going to lose their game and get totally ticked off, and that's exactly what is going to happen. It's going to be an against Anonymous group that gets built, and they're going to crash Anonymous. And I'm going to laugh.
I'm already laughing.
Yeah, the forums. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
If it can be returned, guys, you're focusing on the wrong people. You're hurting the wrong people. You're hurting fellow gamers. You want to hurt them? Don't buy their stuff.
Get out there and vote
if you don't like these people who are making these laws.
It's always misplaced aggression. Come on, people. We didn't do anything to you. I just want to play.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I don't care what's going on between y'all. I don't want to be caught in the crossfire anymore.
You knocked my game out of service, and you and I, no. No. No.
We don't want Ginger's mad at us.
No.
We don't want that. We don't want it at all. No. Okay. Look, I have so much news. Okay. Wow. It's nice to be loved. I got to say that much. Thank you, all you game companies. But I'm trying to figure out who to get first, because, you know, if you leave somebody out, they're going to be mad at us. Well, I will run a couple of things here quickly. Okay, we have a new trailer up for you from Fallen Earth featuring Terminal Woods, which we have not gotten into play yet, but I hear it is awesome. We also have some trailers from The Lord of the Rings, War in the North, which is currently uploading Magicka. Let's do that one. Okay, so you guys have heard us talk about Magicka and their whole Vietnam set they're going to be running. We don't have this up yet, but I'll have some screenshots up for you. Mainly Blaster, who is now the newest Magicka groupie. He says, your friendly neighborhood wizards at Paradox Interactive and Arrowhead Game Studios have managed to focus their considerable powers and set a release date for the first major Magicka DLC, Magicka Vietnam, as well as releasing 10 spanking new screenshots. I love the smell of screen grabs in the morning. Magicka Vietnam will be available on all major digital distribution channels on the 12th of April for $4.99. That's good, right?
That is really good.
That's really good. All players will be able to play Magicka Vietnam as long as the player hosting the session has purchased the DLC. That is absolutely awesome. So you all can throw in together and, you know, pick the one person who, you know, is always going to be online playing and say, here's my 50 cents or 25 cents, and you buy the DLC, and then we can all play together.
That is awesome.
That is.
All right, so hold on. Maybe I'm misunderstanding this. All the people have to buy the game, but only one person buys the DLC?
Only one person has to spend that $4.99, and that's Nintendo style.
Nice. That is nice.
That's how Nintendo does it with the DS, in case you guys didn't know. Only one person has to have the game you want to play, and then everybody can play that's sitting around you. And I like this idea. That's called being nice to your customers in a bad economy. Fantastic.
That is very nice. You know, it's really nice for people who have multiple gamers in a family.
Yes, and you can all play together. Well, you can't play it, you know, alone, but you know how you're playing multiplayer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, only one of you has to have it. Fabulous Paradox Interactive. If you want to know about Magic of Vietnam, it says it contains a new survival challenge map with increased difficulty and direct response to their request from the community. Thank you, because there was some issues with that. In the magical jungles of Vietnam, you'll have an array of Vietnam-era weapons, a special magic that calls in a napalm strike. I love it. I got to play this on enemy positions. Players, of course, still have access to what makes Magicka truly unique, the dynamic spellcasting system and a healthy dose of humor. And there is an announcement trailer, which I will pop up for you in a second, along with some screenshots. And when we tell you that the spellcasting system is dynamic, I have told you guys this before on the show, you have to be careful when casting your little spells. You can hit yourself, the people you're trying to save, everybody. It's dynamic. That's what they mean by dynamic. I blew myself up, the lady I was saving, my party, everybody.
That is hilarious. Blew yourself up. That's
well, I'm saying blow myself up, but it was a fireball. I have a penchant for fire. I think I was a fire starter or something in a previous life, or, you know, people that like to play with fire. I love it. If it's a fire spell in a game, I must have it. And I threw up a shield thinking I was protecting me and her or something, and I had some other bad guy in the shield with us, and I said, I'll just shoot him. He ducked, and it just started bouncing off the inside of that shield, and we all died. It was hilarious.
That is beautiful. That is awesome.
You will definitely love Magic. If you haven't played it, go ahead and pick it up, and then one of you, you know, like I said, the group of you that play together, go ahead and spend a couple of cents. Everybody chip in, and then everybody can play. It's good fun.
That sounds awesome.
And the trailer is up.
Yay! We like trailers.
Yay! From Paradox Plaza. We love people at Paradox. They are awesome.
Paradox. They are awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
News.
Mm-hmm. There's new closed beta going on. And they need heroes. Oh, yes.
Let's do this.
Heroes needed. Drakensong Online is entering the closed beta phase. The gates to Duria have cracked open after the pre-registration phase of the Drakensang, I'm probably saying this wrong, Drakensang Online closed beta, and a smooth one-week internal test phase for Big Point employees to be the first to try out the upcoming fantasy action RPG. Starting Monday, Big Point will be inviting hand-selected Drakensang fans to join the closed beta. In the Drakensang Online closed beta, players will be able to test playing as Spellweavers or Dragon Knights. Dragon Knights will show off their prowess in close quarters combat, while the Spellweavers do their thing with impressive magic attacks. Ooh, I love me some magic attacks.
Right.
Once they create their own characters, players begin to walk the pilgrim's path through the land of Duria. The seemingly idyllic world is not without peril. Small monsters lurk in the shadows and offer the players their first chance at combat and gaining experience points. Those able to fend off these little devils will find refuge in the tranquil town of Grimford. From sword or magic trainers to Bertram the merchant with goods from all four corners of the kingdom, or Alan Smith with the right weapons, Grimford has it all. Yet even here, unrest hangs in the air. The villagers, mostly fishers and peat cutters, have been reporting dark and strange happenings to the north in Dardmoor. Players must unite to set out for Grimegstone to uncover the source of these troubling occurrences. The closed beta of Drakensang will already demonstrates the unique mix of intense combat against the creatures of the Ender world, the impressive character development, and exciting. Drakensang Online is the first Drakensang title in which players experience the captivating plot and game world alongside friends and fellow Drakensang fans. All this free to play and directly in the browser. Ooh, hey, they got me a free to play and browser. Ooh, that's nice. The Big Point Berlin development team tests the closed beta of Drakensang Online on servers in both Germany and the USA to improve the game together with the fans and community over the next few months until the official launch. Week by week, the Big Point development team will be unlocking more player accounts to the experience the closed to experience the closed beta and perfect the gaming experience based on the fans' suggestions before the official launch. All right, so you're looking for the beta. You want to check it out? You can head over to drakensang-online.de, which is drakensang-online.de. They also have a Facebook, and you can look them up, and they're also on Twitter, so go over there and Twitter them. Again, this is a closed beta. It's not officially launched yet, so if you do join, take a deep breath. Things probably aren't going to work the way they're supposed to. That's okay.
Oh, no, it's not okay. We must complain. We must crash the server.
Every time. Every time, too.
That's just how we roll.
Why is this not working right? Blah, blah, blah. Because it's a beta, people.
This game sucks.
Your anyway. Face? No, my mom. No, wait.
Okay. I'm waiting.
No.
You go. Keep it in? Okay. It's not good to hold in that juice. Okay. Okay, apparently, yeah. Let me, this story is not loading up properly. Give me a second here. Y'all forget, I'm doing this from two.
Every day.
Yes, live. I'm doing this from two different PCs, so yeah, fun always to be had. Oh, good gracious. You know what? I'm going to move along to another story, and I'll come back to that one shortly.
Great.
Yes, good gracious. Okay, so those of you.
Too much porn on her computer.
Probably. y'all know how I roll.
Vampire porn.
That's right. That's right. Y'all know how I roll. I love me some vampire porn. Okay. Look, and then it loads as soon as I go to move to the next story. Okay. Those of you who love to invest in your games, you're into the whole buying game stock and everything, we'll be sad to hear that return on your investment for cloud companies is years out. This is from GamesIndustry.biz. I'm one of those people. I like to invest in my game companies. Dylan Collins, who's the founder of Demonware and Jolt Online Gaming, has expressed some concern over the commercial viability of cloud gaming companies and stated his belief that while businesses such as OnLive and Gaikai have raised significant amounts of investment, seeing a return on that cash could be years out. He wrote a business or wrote an opinion piece in a website called businessinsider.com. You can go check that out if you like. Collins noted three primary challenges for cloud gaming, covering the nature of the internet, the problem of games not including code with cloud gaming in mind, and some current concerns over future uncapped broadband. Yes, you guys know all about that. Mm-hmm. Unlike digital downloads, streaming games require both down and upstream communications, he wrote. Any latency is going to cause trouble, particularly for real-time games. Unfortunately, the internet is a latency-filled place, as we all know. Yeah, lagging like that. Remember the top of the show? This is why OnLive has to raise so much capital and possibly why Gaikai only streams demos. To provide a good consumer experience, cloud gaming services need to operate in data centers which are physically close to the gamer. He also said, or continues, that game developers have long used the technical term "sucky" to describe the internet. to deal with this problem, they build a range of tricks into the game code itself, which help compensate for the slowdown. The problem for the cloud gaming companies is that they receive the game after it's developed, meaning they can't add any of their own technical wizardry into the game. So these guys are going to need middleware teams, or you're going to have a whole lot of unhappy gamers. And with some ISPs moving away from the uncapped broadband, including U.S.-based AT&T, boo. Collins noted that it is unclear how, if at all, cloud gaming consumers will react to those ISP caps. Unfortunately, those challenges and the amounts raised to get OnLive and Gaikai off the ground, and let me tell you how much OnLive raised, $56.5 million, and Gaikai raised $15 million. They've led him to question whether or not browser games is a better bet. He says, I'm not absolutely ruling out cloud gaming as a viable model. However, I'm also saying that the successful companies, for these companies to be successful, they'll need a lot of capital and very deep technical talent. And that's just to make it a mainstream service. He's also saying he suspects that the actual return on investment is likely to be years out, of course. OnLive is currently charging $9.99 a month for unlimited play. He says, for now, I'm betting on regular browser games. Both companies, if you're interested, have signed partnerships, including with some regional ISPs, although the issue of latency is another one that was raised another time by Talina Sonora, who's the head of gaming and head of gaming Vlad Ihora, in an interview with GamesIndustry.biz last year. So I'm going to hold on to my opinions for that one.
I'm muted. I'm over here laughing, holding on to the panties.
I am always. I love to invest in the, you know, game companies. I'll buy stock, but I have limited to the big, you know, the big three or four. I got my Microsoft, my Sony, my Nintendo, and I have Starbucks. Because Starbucks never dies.
That is true. They just keep growing and keep growing.
Yes. Although
Subway was the fastest growing chain.
I don't know. Well, I'm pretty sure they're public, but I have no idea. But I will tell you, I yelled at the guy at the Starbucks last year. I drove through the drive-thru and I bought a bunch of coffees, you know, for people. And he gave me a couple of them free. I said, look, dude, I can't earn return on my stock with this business. How many free coffees are you giving out during the day? He's like, uh-oh. This is my money you're playing around with. Let me give out free coffee. Anyway. Continue, Ginger. Ginger, are you there? Did you fall off the face of the earth?
Oh, I'm muted again. I muted myself. I was laughing about your coffee story.
Ginger stuck in traffic.
I know. 3G Studios announces all new quick game mode and now available in the dating game for social networks. I actually was trying to make some little joke about dating me, but anyways, it failed because I was muted. Speed dating takes on a whole new meaning this week as 3G Studios has launched the brand new quick game mode for the dating game. This is on Facebook, MySpace, MySpace still around, High Five, they're still around, and Friendster. Wow. All right, I know Facebook's still around, but the rest of those? Seriously. By allowing players to instantly link with other players to match players on the go can complete an entire game in 30 minutes or less, because, you know, it only takes 30 minutes to find yourself a date, right?
How fun, 30 minutes or less.
Mm-hmm. I do know some people like that. Upon signing into the dating game, players will be given the option to select and customize avatars in order to begin a regular game. Or they can choose Quick Game, which then randomly selects one of the player's avatars and then places them into a game with three other players waiting to start the first round of play. Also new in the dating game this week is the auto-answer function that will jump in and answer for players who have been idle for a period of time to keep the gameplay moving. New character content is also now available, along with the ability for players to share their unique avatars with friends via wall posts. Players can log in today to enjoy the all-new Quick Game mode, new character content, and the benefits of Auto Answer on Facebook, MySpace, High Five, and Friendster. So let the flirtatious fun begin. People, are y'all really still over on MySpace? I'm gonna check mine in.
Apparently they are. I keep getting notice that somebody's my friend on MySpace.
High Five? Really?
Yeah, High Five. I know.
Wow.
Amazing.
Facebook.
I am trying very hard right now to grab something for you guys that just arrived in the mailbox, which is the official L.A. Noir trailer number 3.
Ooh.
Yeah. So when I get that'll be up on the site here in just a second, and then I'll Twitter you guys. You guys that follow us on Twitter, I'll let you know when it's up.
You gotta Twitter us, guys.
I will Twitter you. I will touch your Twitter.
Oh, my God.
I know, right? I know. I'm sorry. So I'll get that up for you.
Above the desk.
Please do.
You'll get fired doing that.
Yes, you will. Mm-hmm. And you cannot blame us. But in the meantime, those of you who've had Nintendo DSs will probably vouch for this. This is one of the most difficult and annoying things that has been so about the DS and the Wii since it's come out. The most annoying. Forget the fact that you may hate the whatever it is you hate about both consoles, but this is the most annoying, is that you always had to have a friend code. Guys out there are probably nodding their heads. Yeah, you had to have a friend code to be friends with your friends. It was not a gamer tag, and this friend code is like 15 characters long.
Wow.
Yeah. So a new company called Modojo has made a Facebook app that makes sharing your 3DS friends code easier. See, all it took was time and technology. You can just add the application, enter your friend code, and you'll be presented with a list of your Facebook friends and their friends' console. I don't like that part. Obviously, your friends will need to be using Modojo app as well to be able to for you to see their friend code, and it's that simple. You can pop over to Facebook right now and check them out. And their link is too long for me to give to you, but I will see if we can give it up. This is or if you want to pop over and check it out, it's actually on Eurogamer, but we'll put it up on ours. Make sure we give them their love. Hi, Eurogamer. We love you.
Yay, we love you, Eurogamer.
We love you so much.
Have our pixelated babies.
Shh, can't say that on the air during the daytime.
Oh, we can't?
Okay. I lie. I lie. You can say whatever we want.
Oh, yeah?
Hey. I stick a gun in your eye. Watch it, sister.
All right. Well, then I guess I'll just get back to news before I get cut.
Uh-huh.
All right, GamePolitics.com, again this morning because they are excellent. Minecraft sells 800,000 units, generates $32.9 million in revenue.
Ooh, good.
That is nuts.
Wow. Do they need wives or something?
I know, right? You need a girlfriend? You need somebody to spoil, just spend some money on?
Sit on your lap at any given moment? I could just follow you around and do that at command.
Mm-hmm. You know us, gamer girls are hot. Hot by default.
That's right.
That's the way it goes. The popular indie title Minecraft has generated more than 20 million Linden, Franks, something, whatever that little L sign is, $32.9 million in the U.S. in its lifetime, with the unit sales nearing the 2 million mark. According to data released by creator Marcus Persson, Persson added that he is only taking a nominal salary despite the amount of wealth he has gathered from the game, though what the salary is, he did not disclose. Imagine that. But he is the creator, so hey, whatever. He made the comments on a Reddit web chat Q&A session when asked specifically how much revenue had been made for the game so far. What did he say exactly? He said a lot. It all ends up in an account somewhere, and I try not to look at it. I get a normal salary these days for day-to-day stuff, but there's a big pile somewhere. The game sold 800,000 copies at $9.95, whatever that little C thing is, you weird, weird Eastern people and your weird symbols. And then so far, 1 million more at $14.95. PayPal takes a cut. There are taxes and such, but it's still a huge wad of money. Persson's company, Mojang Specifications, announced earlier this year that it was working on a new title, a digital card, and a board game called Scrolls.
Okay.
Well, way to go, Marcus Persson. That is...
Yeah.
Are you married?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Darn.
I don't know. I was just saying
You were totally just looking that up, too. I know you were.
No, I should, though.
Uh-huh. Corey was on Google.
Hey, you can be married and we sit on your lap. Look, you can be married and we sit on your lap. Really, you know, that's what it can be all about. It doesn't matter.
You want to adopt me as your sister, your daughter, something?
Bad gender.
What?
Bad, bad, bad. Okay, so it is time for us.
Broken.
You know what? I'm going to refrain from commenting. I'm going to refrain from commenting. Trust me, it's hard because you all know me refraining from comment just rarely happens. Sometimes I just got something to say. Just got to say it. Okay, so we're going to take
a
quick break.
I love you, Corey.
Sure you do. I know you do. Bad. Bad girl. I raised them wrong is what I did. I raised them.
It's all Corey's fault. All Corey's fault. Any trouble I get into, it's Corey's fault.
Well, it's okay. You know what? It's time to take a break. remember, you can find this news and other news on our site at GamerNatrix.com or GamerGirlsRadio.com. We're about to go into the non-streaming portion of our show, but we are still putting up news for you to read. So if you want to read the news instead of waiting to listen in about 15 minutes, you can read. I do need some music, don't I? I should play something. PvP girl today.
Yeah, there we go.
That would be BT deciding, I don't think I want to play anything for you. And remember, our show tonight, we'll be discussing some more of these stories in depth. You stop by, sit in with us. You can call in even in comment, sit in the chat room, all that good stuff.
I'll be in the chat room. It's totally inappropriate. Come on over.
As usual.
You know me. I got to try to derail the show from the chat room.
and usually succeed.
Well, when you're good at something.
When you get at something, no ma'am. Oh, I love this song.
I know she's so badass.
Hey, you sound like a name. Release my pet, and you're gonna feel a pain. Check the scoreboard, do we even got a question? Farming 8Ks, yeah, this is my obsession. My spirit eats heads, and as we bite like Britney babysitting, it'll leave a thick impression. My tone is alone. Every time I Rambo attack, I do it with aggression. Why you so mad? We're just keep to your discretion, cause I'ma take you down, and there is no prevention. Na, na, na. How I feel, I'm asking. cause I gotta wander no. Get your ass kicked by a girl.
Got a lock like me, I'm still rocking lock in the death night spree. No one in the BG up the top like me, cause I got more game than everywhere. Cause I put on display when I'm dotting my prey. Dotting my prey.
Is it time for a nap yet? Oh, no, we got 15 more minutes to show. Oh, yeah. I think it's time for a nap. I don't know about the rest of you.
I'm telling you, I'm getting pretty deadly with the handgun in that game too.
See, I'm trying not to listen to you because we have enough games to play. That makes it even worse.
Of course, you know, I was giving the guys hell because they were protecting one girl in the game, and I was like, oh, come on, just let me kill her. And then
see,
I did.
Nobody is safe when they're playing with me. Everybody knows this. Even if I'm on your team, I'll still shoot you. It don't really matter.
Well, they were blocking her, so I couldn't hit her, so I had to find another way around.
You kill them, your teammates just kill everybody. It's every time I play, it's last woman standing is who wins. I don't care.
Well, they had already been changed into the monsters, so I couldn't hurt them anymore. And they were blocking her, blocking my view of her. I was like, how rude. That's not cool. I was like, just because she can't play.
Messing up the whole rotation.
I was like, you know what? That just says she has no skill. No skill.
Oh.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Let's cut her, Ginger. Cut her.
I did. I turned her into a mummy.
Okay, I don't even want to know. I don't want to.
All right, so I guess we're back to the news now?
I suppose so. Isn't it my turn?
I don't know. It's my turn, your turn? I don't know whose turn.
It is my turn. I had to cut you off because you were threatening to cut people during the last segment. Okay, so.
I do that all the time, though.
This is true. Okay, hang on. I am back and forth here doing five different things. Stop with the messages, people. I know.
No phone ringing this time.
Oh, it'll be ringing in a second. Okay, so you people who love... Probably. What is the deal? I got some craziness going on my PCs. Okay, so those of you should be very excited to hear this, developers out there. Again, I'm all over games industry biz today. They've got some really great stories, I'm trying to tell you. Those of you who are developers will be happy to know that Unreal will be coming to Android, the Unreal Engine. Yes, I know. Breathe. It's okay. Some of you are out there let go. Yes. Finally, I can work on that code while I'm on the train or on the bus. the Unreal Development Kit, acronym UDK, will eventually appear for Google's Android operating system, according to new comments made by Epic Games Vice President Mark Rain. He spoke to Gamma Sutra and stated that they've been supporting Android for quite a while, and they've been providing Unreal Engine 3 in the source code format to their licenses. So they said UDK is a totally different story. It's been difficult for anybody right now to make a game with UDK and ship it on Android because Unreal is for making high-end, high-quality content games, and most of them are pretty large because you can make a large game with it. Rian reiterated that the biggest issues for Android support is that the software is 50 megabyte limited for apps, which makes Unreal Engine 3 developed for games difficult. As a result, Rain has already come out in support of Google's recent crackdown on Android customization and fragmentation, and we're also behind them on that. He says UDK will eventually come to Android, and Google is going to solve that problem. We know they're working on it, but we don't know the release date, and we don't know when it'll get into the hands of all the different vendors out there with different phones. UDK was originally created, actually, for iOS platforms, and the Epic published Infinity Blade, proving a technological milestone for games on Apple formats. However, it's not, again, not yet available for rival smartphone operating system Android. Yesterday, Rain confirmed that the game would not be released on the Android platform because of the lack of consistency in the operating system. So that's why they're behind them Now, and he has also come back and added, just a few seconds ago, ironically, he said, just to be clear, we did not rule out Infinity Blade on Android, and he just said that it has not been done yet. So those of you don't, you're like, it's never coming to Android. It'll be, we're not ruling it out, just not yet. I love when they come back and comment on the stories about them. Hot.
That is nice.
So keep that in.
Well, you predicted it. There are some fights going on, and oh my God, PSP just threw down the gauntlet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
PSP outsells the 3DS in Japan. Oh, yeah. maybe it's just an anomaly, but Nintendo cannot be happy that Sony's handheld is beating its new 3DS system in Japan for the week. According to data from Media Create and posted on Kotaku, combined sales of the PSP handhelds reached 58,075, an increase of 7,000 on the previous week. This compares to 42,979 for the 3DS, which experienced a drop of almost 8,000 over the last 7 days.
Oh,
ouch.
Bad.
Combined PSP sales from last week beat the 3DS by a small margin. But this week, sales of the PSP 3000 managed to outpace the new portable. Much of the PSP's sales were attributed to a dating sim for the system called Amagami. The game sold 69,221 units. Fighting game Blaze Blue Continuum Shift 2 sold 23,808 units. The only 3DS title in the top 10 of this week is baseball game Pro Yaku Famista 2011 at number 9 with 12,851 sales. Ouch! Other PSP games making the top 10 included Final Fantasy IV, The Complete Collection, Monster Hunter Freedom 3, Dissidia 012, Final Fantasy, and Phantasy Star Portable 2 Infinity. Way to go, PSP. That's like a big slap in the face for Nintendo.
Oh, that's... Oh, there's going to be oil of some kind. That's all I got to say about that. Ooh, I love it. I love it. Juicy fighting. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Ginger, you started this, didn't you?
I didn't start it. Not me, not this time.
Well, those of you who play Rift, this is real short because I'm going to do this one. Then I'm going to jump to the next story. There are some lore documents for those of you out there that speak several other languages, German, English, French. Yay. Don't I sound excited? But what I'm most excited about, speaking of 3DS, well, I'm a huge Harvest Moon fan. So Natsume is bringing Harvest Moon to Nintendo DS and 3DS. So they're making it for both consoles, which I appreciate because I probably won't be picking up 3DS just yet for a while. It's called Harvest Moon, The Tale of Two Towns. Burlingame is located out in California, and Natsume Inc., the worldwide developer and publisher of family-oriented video games, announced today that Harvest Moon, Tale of Two Towns, will be coming to North America and be released simultaneously on both the DS and the 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they're extremely excited to be bringing Tale of Two Towns to these two great platforms. This is from Hiro Maekawa, who's the president and CEO of Natsume. He says he wanted to ensure that all of our loyal Harvest Moon fans would have a chance to play the game, no matter which version they pick up. They're sure to love the great new cast of characters, the fun festivals, and the exciting new gameplay mechanics. Konohana and Bluebell villages were once the friendliest of neighbors. Then a huge dispute erupted between them over food. Both towns were certain that their cooking was the best in the world, and the feud has transformed these happy neighbors into bitter rivals. I gotta pick this up. I love it. As a new farmer to the area, of course, you're always a farmer in Harvest Moon. Players choose which village to live in, picking a side. Will it be the Eastern-style Konohama with its abundant fields of crops, or the animal-loving European-style Bluebell? Players will pick a home, build a thriving farm, and compete in a huge variety of festivals if they develop their skills enough, and they might even find a way to bring these two towns together again. You can check out details at Natsume.com, and that's Natsume.com. You can also follow all of the latest Natsume news on their Facebook. Natsume.com/Facebook. And, of course, there's their Twitter, Natsume Space Inc. I cannot wait to play this. I love me some Harvest Moon. And I know it's considered a girly game, but I love me some Harvest Moon. What can I say?
Well, you know what? You love what you love. You can't help it.
Now, you put some makeup games in front of me, we got a problem. I don't want any makeup.
No. There's plenty of those coming out recently, and I'm like, really?
Boo.
It's like a shaving game. Really, people?
I put that up on our site because I could not believe it. If you guys are looking at the site, you probably see it. It's the first one up at the top today. I'm going to leave it there for a while. I can't believe somebody made a whole game out of shaving. Okay. I got some other juicy news. Ginger, go. I have to share this.
Oh, you have to share this. Okay.
And I know.
Well, then I'll go with a smaller one. Report Activision offered Bazaar to founders. This is coming from GamePolitics.com. According to excerpts from a soon-to-be-published Edge interview with former Bazaar Creations creative director Martin Chudley, commercial manager Sarah Chudley, and former design manager Gareth Wilson, company leaders had the opportunity to buy back Bazaar Creations from Activision. Now at Sumo Digital, the trio talk about the last days of the studio responsible for Project Gotham Racing and Blur. Activision shut down Bazaar Creations in February of this year after a three-month search for a buyer. Martin Chudley says, "I don't think the atmosphere differed too much during the years before Activision. We were always proudly independent. However, when Activision took over, we really felt that they would leave our culture alone. And for a while it was fine, but slowly the feeling did start to change. We weren't an independent studio making our games anymore. We were making games to fill slots. Although we did all believe in them, there were more products of committees and analysts. The culture we worked on for so long gradually eroded just enough so that it wasn't ours anymore." Wilson went on to say that the change in the atmosphere was just the reality of managing so many people, and that is always a challenge for any studio to make everyone on the team feel that they're really contributing to a game when there are well over 100 people on a single game in production. Martin Chudley also admitted that the final version of Blur failed to resonate with the game's buying public. Wilson agrees, saying that the studio underestimated how difficult it was to get a new IP off the ground at this stage of the console cycle. Most interesting information to come out of the interview is that Activision offered the studio back to its founders, who declined the offer. They said, "Without going into details, yes, there was an opportunity, but I personally thought there was far greater potential for the security and well-being of the company if a third party could come in." Sarah added, "In any case, Bazaar had grown even more since Activision took over, and we just didn't have the skills, capability, or finances to look over 200 people. Martin and I were always small company people, which is why we stepped aside when we realized it needed big company skills to manage." Looks like the full interview is set to go live April 12th in the 227th issue of Edge. Yay!
Well, the story that I saw, misleading title, but I do have some other big news. We have a trailer from Duke Nukem due to go up here in a few seconds. It's still uploading for you guys. Critical Mass. This is from Deep Silver, sent this over to us not in the nick of time, but hey, we said 11 people. They released the international trailer for Duke Nukem Critical Mass, which will be released. Did you guys know it was going to be April 8th, tomorrow, for Nintendo DS and the Sony PSP? So the King of Action is back and ready to kick some assets. I added that last word on. Duke's original nemesis Proton is back and has unified all of those who've opposed Duke in the past. The Earth Defense Force attempts to ensure that Earth's continued security by transporting Duke into the future. Ironically, just moment after Duke's departure, Proton launches a devastating attack on Earth. You can get the full Duke Nukem experience as you guide him through a world invaded by aliens. Save the Earth. And of course, all the babes with blazing guns. And sometimes just a well-placed kick of your mighty boot. So,
mighty boots.
We'll have a trailer up for that.
Yes,
a well-placed kick. But we got to get out of here. We're out of time.
We do. We're out of time. Tonight, we have the show. Don't forget about that. I'll be in the chat room. Come over. Joke with me. We'll try to derail the show. It'd be great.
Causing problems. Always causing.
9 p.m. Central. So whatever time the rest of you people are in, the central is the time that we care about.
Bad, bad, bad. Did I raise you this way? Is it my fault?
From now on, it's always your fault.
I see that.
I love you, Corey.
Sure you do. You just after my lucky charms. Okay,
so we'll see. No, I was about to say something about plundering the booty, but that just came out wrong.
You know, with me, it wouldn't be wrong. Okay, we'll see you guys later on tonight. Well, I'll probably be wide awake because, you know, I am a vampire.
She is.
Oh, fighting me. I need to come bite you sometime today because I think I'm getting low and I'm going to get jumped by Big Daddy. Is Big Daddy listening?
No, he's at work.
Thank God. You guys can come in and play with us. Feel free. Second Life. Free to play. Free to download. Ginger Ghost Star.
Ginger Ghost Star.
Corey Mills.
Nope. or anywhere else, Xbox. I'm Ginger in Mission Against Terror 2.
Yeah, Ginger still hasn't accepted my friend request on Xbox, so I'm just kidding.
Me and that account are going to go around and around at this point. It's giving me all kinds of issues. I don't know what's going on.
Short butter. We'll see you guys later.
Bye, guys.